singing divas on Wilde and Towson. No, our next guest is not one. I am a far greater diva, which Tausch can attest to.
That I 100% agree with.
But are there divas in baseball, and what positions do they play?
I'm going to say reliever. I think your closer is the biggest diva.
No, the starting pitcher, they do all kinds of things for them every day, especially when they're pitching.
Yeah, but it's only every fifth day.
Yeah, but you know when it's your starting pitcher.
You know who's not a diva is the catcher. I think catchers are probably the least diva-ish.
What about center fielders?
Let's find out.
Carlos Gomez. I love Carlos.
They're flashy. I don't know if they're divas.
They're flashy. Well, let's find out. Joining us now from Bally Sports Wisconsin and the Brewers, it is our friend Sophia Minert on Wilde and Towson. Sophia, good morning. I am definitely more of a diva than you are, but are there baseball-playing divas?
Yeah, of course. Of course there are. Yeah, I think in terms of position, I do have to agree. I think you'd have to go with the starting pitcher. And I say that only because they are probably the most routine-oriented. You know, some guys are more relaxed on their start days. You can have a conversation with them. Some guys, you know, I think like the old school philosophy was like you never talk to a starting pitcher on a start day, right? Like you kind of leave him alone. Some guys are still that way. You know, they're still that style. They like to just really mentally lock in. They don't like distractions. They don't want to be bothered. And then other guys are like the most casual, most laid back. So I think it depends on the person. But I guess across the board, I would say probably the starting pitchers.
So my exposure to Major League clubhouses is limited to the occasional Brewers game that I covered early in my career. I went to spring training a few times before we got to see you on television regularly. I once got cursed out by a pitcher named Jeff Juden for standing too close to his locker.
Yeah, double J.
I was standing too close to his locker. I didn't even want to talk to him. I was like waiting for Ben Sheets. And he just, I mean, he used a lot of profanity. It was not pretty. And I was like, what is your deal, man? And I don't even think he was pitching that day. Is that true that there are based, not forget Jeff Juden for a second, because I certainly have not. Are there really starting pitchers that don't want to be talked to on the day that they pitch?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are, again, I feel like this is more of like an old school philosophy, and it's one of those like kind of unwritten things in baseball, right? It's, you know, these guys are so like routine oriented, and some of them are superstitious and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a baseball thing is like you don't typically talk to a starting pitcher on his start day. I think that has relaxed some, you know, again, some guys it's like they want distractions, right? Like they, you know, they'll talk to anyone.
Yes.
They have no problem talking to you. Other guys, they really like to just lock in. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. You know, just they don't want to engage with anyone around them, whether it's headphones on at the locker or they're doing their own thing in the training room. But it's kind of the same philosophy, right? Of like if a guy has a no-hitter, you don't see anyone around him. Like you just don't even look at him. Don't touch him. Don't, you know, let him stay in his own little world over there. So it's kind of like that just before the game.
It's almost as if Sophia's in our planning meetings, except we don't have any planning meetings, right, Tausch?
That's what I was going to say. That's not the case. Before I get to the no-hitter bit, because I was at AmFam Field on Saturday for what was almost a no-hitter, Jason just said Jeff Juden yelled at him. And what's the biggest story, somebody yelling or swearing at you, or has that never happened?
Oh, gosh.
Who would swear at...
Yeah, I feel like there was a pitcher who, after a bad start, like blew up in a postgame. And it wasn't necessarily directed at me. I probably asked the question because, I don't know. But he was a pitcher who had a temper anyway. But, yeah, it's definitely happened.
Okay, well, now we're going to have to go
back. I don't want to name names.
Yeah, we'll have to deductively reason.
What fun is that? Is he still on the team?
We'll figure it out.
No, no, he's not. No, I will have to say, I don't want to throw all, like, I don't want to create this idea that all starting pitchers are monsters. I would say of the starting group right now, they don't really buy into that old school philosophy. I think they're definitely very focused, but like you can say good morning to them or good afternoon or hey, what's up, and they will not rip your head off. So our guys right now, they're pretty good.
Well, that's nice. It seems like there's a little evolution there. All right, Sophia, so I'm at AmFam Field. The Braves are, you know, rocketing balls all around. I think it's four nothing. And it gets to be the eighth inning, I think. And my guy that looks like Jesse Vogelbach gets up there and he hits a little, you know, he hits one out to center. But my question for one of my friends was, do you root for the no-hitter when you don't think your team's going to win and you want to be part of history? Sophia Minert, the fan, what would you be doing in that case?
I'm not working.
You're not working.
Like I'm not working. I'm just a fan. Yeah. I think we talked about this actually, with some of the hitters that have already happened around the league. Like I do like to root for a no hitter, like Wade Miley for the Reds. He just threw one and he was with the Brewers in 2018. So setting that aside, I still think it's cool. It's something that a player will never forget. And I think you do kind of find yourself rooting for it. There's usually a couple of great defensive plays that help a pitcher get to that point too. And I think just having seen as many games as I have, I understand how hard it is to just complete it and get through it and kind of all the things that you need to go right aside from a pitcher just commanding the ball and obviously executing their game plan. I mean, it's just hard because, you know, pitch counts, first of all, you have to have pretty efficient innings. You have to have the trust of your manager to let you go that deep. Usually experience helps with that. And then again, just being on the same page with your catcher and a couple of defensive plays, I think it really does take the whole team, even though it's an individual accomplishment. So I do think it's cool. I obviously never want to see one against the Brewers, but we've been on that side too. So I do like them. I think they're cool, and they're just so hard to do.
So Jim Paschke is retiring, and he called Juan Nieves's no-hitter in 87. Mm-hmm. Have you covered any other historic, like not historic wins? We know you've covered plenty of those, and you've dodged some Gatorade showers and everything else. Playoff clinching victories, etc. But like individual accomplishments, like is there anyone that sticks out or any that were close to happening and then didn't that you remember? I know that's putting you on the spot, but like Tausch's, seventh inning, no hitter, you know, doesn't really, once there's a hit, it's not really news.
Right. Oh yeah. There's tons of close calls with no hitters, right? But that, I mean, you even see that some guys will lose it with a final out, or you know, you lose a perfect game in the ninth, whatever. You see plenty of those. I'm trying to think of other cool historic things. I honestly can't really think of one right now. I mean, I guess the only thing I can think of was like Christian hitting for the cycle twice in the span of like 3 weeks, both right. times against the Reds.
Good one. See,
and I don't know if that's necessarily a piece of history, but that was just like so improbable.
Well, considering that, like for most of my Brewers fandom, the only Brewer player that had ever hit for the cycle was Mike Hegan in like 1970.
Heegs was great.
Like that is a rarity. That's perfect. I knew I could count on you. All right. So
yeah.
Speaking of Yelich, he's back. Right? We should be excited.
I think we should be excited. Yeah. He's not officially activated yet, but I think the fact that he got through 3 days in AAA with Nashville, by all accounts, he got through that pretty well. The AAA team and the Major League team had an off day yesterday. Craig Counsell shared earlier this morning that he has rejoined the team in Kansas City. So honestly, they haven't made anything official, but you wouldn't bring him back to Kansas City if they didn't feel that he was ready to be activated. If not tonight, then I would imagine tomorrow. If they felt like he needed more time or more at-bats or anything, I think they probably would have kept him in Nashville for a couple more games. And, you know, when we talked to David Stearns on Sunday morning, they felt it wasn't really necessary for Christian to play a complete game in Nashville. I think what was more important to them was seeing how he felt each day. You know, it was two at-bats and a couple innings for him Friday. He a couple more at-bats, six innings on the field Saturday. And then Sunday he was back in the lineup, which was good, you know, day game after night game. Got another probably two or three at-bats and played four innings in the field. So I think that was more important to them, to see how he was recovering and feeling each day after pushing it a little bit more. And so I think, you know, it seems like he's passed those tests. I think fans should be optimistic about what this means.
All right, Sophia, last question. If you were to develop laryngitis or have the flu and your voice is struggling, would they send you on a rehab assignment to Nashville or maybe Appleton and do like a Timber Rattlers game to get back into the swing of things, you think?
Actually, that has happened to me, and it happened at the worst possible time. It was April, and the Bucks were in the playoffs playing the Raptors. And we were actually in Chicago. I was going back and forth between Brewers and Bucks at the time. And I got laryngitis and I lost my voice completely. And we were at Wrigley. And of course it's like, you know, 30 and cold and windy, probably the worst possible conditions. And I had to go to urgent care and get, essentially a steroid to, help speed things up because I had to be back in Milwaukee for the playoff series. So, it has happened. And I will say that medication and a lot of tea and a lot of honey will turn things right around.
So we already know that you're bilingual and you do English interviews and Spanish interviews. Do you do sign language too then? Was that an option at the time?
It was pretty bad, honestly. I really had nothing. Like, I sounded like the Godfather. It was really, really bad. So what I was doing is I would just hold the microphone, like for any of the pregame stuff. And I would just like write it on a piece of paper, or I would just say like one word to Craig. I'd be like, Eric Thames. I'd try to like kind of choke it out. And he would just kind of talk about whatever I needed him to talk about. So, I mean, everyone was really accommodating about it, but it was pretty bad.
Can
I hope
give
to
us
never have that again.
Sophia, can you give us just a little taste of what that sounded like?
I don't even know if I could recreate it. I mean, I had nothing. It was probably the deepest, most like Godfather-y, scratchy tone you can imagine.
So is that a no, or can we hear it?
I can't do it.
Oh, man. Sounds like Jesse after he has too many Coors
really
Lights
bad.
Down in Milwaukee. That's what it sounds like to me.
Never go against Sophia Minert.
I love Vogelbach. He's great.
Sophia, you never know what you're going to get asked on this show. I hope it's not as annoying as I fear it might be. Thanks for making time for us. We always love talking to you.
No, it's been fun. Have a great day.